Tonight is, this week, is the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. And the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, or this week is the week, the last week before Rosh Hashanah. Next week, Sunday night, is going to be a new year in Rosh Hashanah. And in Rosh Hashanah, we know there is an interesting concept that we find in our practices of Rosh Hashanah. We find a concept called Irvuv HaSatan, the confusing of the Satan, confusing of the Satan. We do certain things in order to cause the Satan to get confused. Or you say in Yiddish, farmished. He should be shooken up and not know, and his mind should be distorted. Why do we do that on Rosh Hashanah? Because we understand Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, it's a day of judgment, in which all kol ba'i olam ovrim lefanav kibnei meroin, all the people who come to the world pass before God on a moment of judgment. There's the great trial of all of humanity, and everybody is judged on this day. Umalachim yechofezin, and the angels above are trembling, the whole world is trembling. And as part of that trial, there is the accusing angel, there is the Satan, the prosecutor, and he does a job in prosecuting all people, bringing up all kinds of sins, bringing up all kinds of accusations. So aside for the regular things we do in order to better our chances in that great trial of Rosh Hashanah, we do tshuva, which of course is the best antidote. We still have about a week left to do tshuva. So in this last week, we try to do as much tshuva as we can in order to repair ourselves and to fix anything, that any blemishes or any sins that we've done, and make new commitments and the like. We also increase in mitzvah doing, giving more tzedakah and all kinds of other mitzvahs, praying with adding in prayer and the like. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, as we say, mavir and esrayah ha-gezerah. So these are the three things we do. But there is another thing that we find, and that is, we have we use the method of Irvav HaSatan. We try to do something to confuse the Satan, which we really need to understand how that works. But let's first see, what are the minhagim that are done La'arvav HaSatan, to confuse the Satan? So there is about five or six things. The first thing that is, it says, we know that Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Hashanah falls out on the first day of the year, but it's also the first day of the month of Tishrei. Now we know that during Rosh Chodesh davening, on the day of Rosh Chodesh, we have an extra prayer. We mention Rosh Chodesh by all the prayers. We say, Ya'alav Yovo, B'yom Rosh Chodesh Azeh. But aside from that, we have an extra prayer called the Musaf prayer, the additional prayer, because in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, in the time of the Holy Temple, the Jews would add, it was a mitzvah to add extra sacrifices, the Rosh Chodesh sacrifice. So today we don't have the temple, instead we have an extra tefillah, tefillah's Musaf. So what happens if Rosh Chodesh comes out in conjunction together with another special day? For instance, when Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, so then we just had that last Rosh Chodesh Elul was on Shabbos, the first day of Elul. So what we do is we say one Musaf, and the Musaf includes both. We speak about the extra sacrifices of Shabbos and the additional sacrifices of Rosh Chodesh. So we do with every holiday. Whenever a Yom Tov comes out on Shabbos, we mention Shabbos in the Musaf prayer, and we mention the two sheep that were offered as a Karban Musaf, as additional sacrifice for Shabbos. And we also mention the holiday, the Yom Tov, the Pesach sacrifice, the Sukkah sacrifice, the Shavuot sacrifice, whatever they are. The interesting thing is that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, and which is also Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, there is no mention in the davening about the Rosh Chodesh sacrifices. When you daven Musaf, we do mention, if it comes out on Shabbos, this year it's not going to be on Shabbos, but when it comes out on Shabbos, we do say, Uviyom HaShabbos, and the day of Shabbos, they offered this and this sacrifices, but Rosh Chodesh is omitted. So the question is, now in the Beis HaMikdash, they offered special sacrifices for Rosh Hashanah, and they also offered the special Rosh Chodesh sacrifices, which I think is an ox and a ram, seven sheep, and one goat. This is all special for Rosh Chodesh. But in our Rosh Hashanah davening, it's omitted. did is a very, very, very short statement that we make. We say that this was brought milvad olas hachodesh, that the special musaf that we do for Rosh Hashanah is aside for the Rosh Chodesh offering, but we don't say explicitly what it is. It's almost as if it's not there. So the question is, why don't we mention Rosh Chodesh? So in Shulchan Aruch, it says the reason for that, in reading from Sivav and Shulchan Aruch Harav, Sivav Simin Tof Kuf Tzadik Aleph, where it speaks about the Musaf prayers, he asks the question, why don't we mention explicitly the Rosh Chodesh offerings? He says two reasons. The first reason we're not going to discuss tonight. He says another reason, the second reason is La'arbev HaSatan, in order to confuse the Satan, Shaloy Yeda Shahayoyim Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. What's the confusion? The confusion is the Satan shouldn't know that today is Rosh Chodesh. Because if we mention it, then he'll know today is Rosh Chodesh. If it's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, it's Rosh Hashanah. And if it's Rosh Hashanah, this is a day of, this is the trial. So because we don't want him to know, so that's why we don't mention it. This he brings from who? This is a few sources. This is from a Sefer Minhagim, from Mara Kloisner. Someone, maybe it's Reb Aaron, I don't know what the Aleph stands for. Kloisner, he was from a 15th or 16th century, a rabbi, the teacher of the Holy Maril. He was his Rebbe, and he wrote a book of traditions of Minhagim. Also by Reb Isaac Turner, which is another book of Minhagim, from ancient book of Minhagim. Also the Levush and various different great halachic authorities give this reason. We don't mention Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah because we want to confuse the Satan that he shouldn't know that today is Rosh Chodesh. That's what it says. We also know, this is the very same reason is also given, for the reason why this Shabbos, which is the last Shabbos of the year, and it's the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, generally, we've always Shabbos before a new month is Shabbos Mevorchen. Shabbos Mevorchen means we, at the end, after the Torah reading, we bless the next month. Birchas HaChodesh. The Chazan holds the Sefer Torah, and he says a special blessing. He announces the day of the month, and he says, Yechadesheyu HaKodesh Baruch Hu, may God renew this month upon us, L'toyva L'bracha, for blessings and for goodness and for blessings, L'sasin L'simchan, all the various different things, and everybody answers, Amen. And we know this is a powerful, powerful event, the blessing of the month, because it draws down the bracha for the upcoming month. This Shabbos, Parshas Netzavim, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, such an important month, it is not done in shul. We don't bench the month. What is the reason for that? So in halacha, the reason that is given, also by the three aforementioned ones we mentioned earlier, the Levush, and the Mara Turner, and these say the reason is because we want the Satan should not hear in shul the declaration of what day is Rosh Hashanah. Because if we're going to declare in shul, holding the Sefer Torah, that this day is Rosh Hashanah, so the Satan is going to know when it is, and we don't want him to be prepared. That's the reason. Now, simply, it sort of means that if he doesn't know which day it is, and the trial opens up, and suddenly he's notified, so he's going to be coming at the running at the last minute, and he's not going to be able to, if he might forget some files, some of his paperwork, and some of the things that he brings for evidence, he's going to come all confused, and he's not going to be able to present himself in a strong way, and that's the idea of Irvav HaSatan. Okay? Now, there's another minhag that we know is done in order to confuse the Satan, and that is, during the whole month of Elul, we spoke already about this, we blow shofar. Now, the day before Rosh Chodesh, before Rosh Hashanah, which is Erev Rosh Hashanah, this week, Sunday, upcoming Sunday, we do not, we don't blow shofar. Every day of the month, so the last day of shofar blowing is going to be Friday. Shabbos we don't blow because we never blow on Shabbos. Even on Rosh Hashanah we don't blow on Shabbos. But it's going to be on Friday, not on Sunday. Now, why don't we blow shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah? And the reason is given, two reasons again, but one of the reasons brought down in Magen Avraham and on the Shulchan Aruch is the reason we don't blow is because we want to confuse the Satan. See, there's another reason that's given that we don't blow is because we want to make an interruption between the mitzvah blowing and the minhag blowing. That we shouldn't think it's the same thing. The blowing of the month of Elul is a minhag. And the blowing of Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah. So we want to make a distinction between the two, so we have one day that we don't blow. But there's another reason we want to confuse the Satan. And the Magen Avraham actually says there's a difference between the two opinions. If you're allowed to blow the night before, if someone wants to blow shofar at night on Erev Rosh Hashanah, some people have the custom, they say slichas at night, and during the slichas they blow. So if it's nighttime, so he says, if the reason is only to make an interruption, it's enough if we interrupt during the daytime. But if the reason is to confuse the Satan, we shouldn't do it for the entire 24 hours before. There shouldn't be any blowing. So, and this is his conclusion. We shouldn't blow shofar at all on the day before Rosh Hashanah. So we want to confuse the Satan. How's the Satan going to get confused? Because he sees we're not blowing anymore. He thinks that he missed the boat. It's over already. Rosh Hashanah is over. They're not blowing. Why are they not blowing? It must be that they missed the trial. They're done with the blowing. And therefore, there is no. He's not going to be ready for the din and for the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. Pretty interesting, because the sages are not playing games over here. They're saying something serious. They weren't saying this with a smirk. They weren't okay. We're gonna trick the Satan. They were quite serious. They said, we don't. These are things that is a custom of all the Jewish people. The great halachic authorities talk about this. What does this mean? And let's take it just further. Just one more. One or two more things when we see this concept of Irva Vasatan, which is astonishing. We know that we read the Torah every year. We conclude the entire cycle of Torah reading. We begin at the beginning of the year with Bereshis, and we conclude at the end of the year with Parshas Vezosa Bracha. So we go through the entire reading of the five books of the Chumash every single year. Now the question that is asked is that, I mean, it would be appropriate that we should have done this on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the year, so on Rosh Hashanah should have been the day in which we begin reading Bereishis Bara Elokim. We start reading the Torah. It's a new year. We don't do it on Rosh Hashanah. We wait till 3 weeks later, and we begin on Simchas Torah, the last day of Sukkot. That's when we finish Mezosa Bracha, and we begin reading Bereishis. Ba'alei halacha, the halachic of the poiskim, asked the question, why don't we do this on Rosh Hashanah? That's when we should have done it. And they say, because if we would read Bereishis and conclude Simcha Vezoisa Bracha, and we would start Bereishis on Rosh Hashanah, then the Satan would clearly know that Rosh Hashanah is Parshas Bereishis, means this is the beginning of the year. But now he gets confused, because when he's looking at the calendar this week, he sees it's Parshas Nitzavim. And since it's Parshas Nitzavim, in his mind, it can't be the end of the year. Which means, because then if it would be the end of the year, we would be starting Bereishis. So it must be that it's not the end of the year. Sort of like a lot of our minds, at least myself, I mean, my mind doesn't operate on the secular calendar that much. It happens more on the Hebrew calendar. But even on the Hebrew calendar, my sense of time is not so much on the days of the month. It's more fixed with which Parsha it is. Which parsha is it? It's what's, you know, people tell me, are you available the next 2 weeks from now? So which week is it? Tell me the parsha. Because we live with the parsha. Parsha, that's the way. And it's scary for me that the Satan, I guess, also has that kind of thinking. He also lives with the parsha. But that's, again, very, very strange. That if we're not going to say it's Parshas Bereishis this week, the Satan doesn't know that it's the beginning of the year. And again, we're tricking him. We're tricking the Satan. He doesn't know that this is the beginning of the year because it's not Parshas Bereishis. And how's another one? We blow shofar the whole month of Elul. Why do we blow shofar the whole month of Elul? So we know one of the reasons, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, is to cause an esoteris for tshuva, to awaken the Jewish people to do tshuva. And I brought this statement from the Torah, which is the foundation of the Shulchan Aruch, where he brings from the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, this whole idea how Moshe went up to Shamayim, went up to the heaven, went up the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and he went up on Rosh Chodesh, and every day they blew shofar to tell the people, to awaken them to do tshuva, and they shouldn't go after idols like they did the first time. After he concludes the whole thing, he gives another reason at the end, Ukidei la'arvei v'sasatan, and in order to confuse the satan. And which means that the blowing of shofar the entire month of Elul is to ma'ariv the Satan, to confuse the Satan. And here he doesn't really say how, but others in the Darkei Moshe he brings from Sefer Menhagim that we mentioned earlier, that he shaloi yeda, we blow the entire month, v'hakol, and all of this is done kidei la'arev asatan shaloi yoda masa yeh Rosh Hashanah. When is Rosh Hashanah? Because every day he thinks that day is Rosh Hashanah because the blowing shofar. So he doesn't really know because shofar is Rosh Hashanah. So for 30 days we blow, so he really uncertain, doesn't know when is Rosh Hashanah. Okay, and then he also brings, that's why we don't bless the month of Tishrei, because of that reason. Now this goes all the way back to Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, meaning this is its origins in from the Tanoim, from the author, the writers of the Mishnah. This idea that there's an irv of a confusion of the Satan by blowing shofar the whole month of El. This is very, very, very strange, this whole entire concept. Because the Satan is an angel, and his primary job is to snoop around all day. That's what he does. He's a criminal investigator. He's a detective. That's his job. So he walks around gathering information all the time. And what is he doing? So first of all, obviously he knows everything that's printed. Everything that's on the calendar. He's going to look up in the calendar and see what's going on. What do you think? The Satan has to listen to all our conversations because he's got to snip out when we're saying something that's untrue or we're saying a Lashon Hara. So obviously he's listening to our conversations. He doesn't hear that we're wishing each other a Happy New Year and inviting guests for Rosh Hashanah and speaking about where you're going to be for Rosh Hashanah. I mean, how's... The Satan doesn't see the Lashana Tova cards that we send. The Sutton doesn't, what do you think, he doesn't have access to your email? He doesn't have access to your text messaging? He has all of that. Everybody's. How's it, I mean, what's this idea? He's not going to know when is Rosh Hashanah if we're not going to announce it in Shul. By Shabbos Mevorchim, when we hold the Sefer Torah, and we're not going to mention Rosh Chodesh, and then doesn't he hear Rosh Hashanah by night? That we're dipping the apple in honey. The din is generally during the night, and by day we dip the apple in honey, and that we're in shul. We have that, even just when we open up to Ma'ariv, we have that bone-chilling song that we start, that humming that introduces Rosh Hashanah and really gives us a shake. It's Rosh Hashanah. This is the great day, and the Malach doesn't know that. I mean, the only day that he's not allowed to work is Yom Kippur, but every other day he's still looking for the last bit of sins that people are doing. So he comes to shul as well, and he sees everything. So how is it possible for us to even entertain the thought that the Satan does not know which day is Rosh Hashanah? This is a very good question. I mean, and it's a serious question. Because again, the sages say there are so many things that we do in order to confuse the Satan that he shouldn't know when it is, when it obviously he knows when it is. And he doesn't he learn from the same trick that we did last year? Come on, we can come up with a better trick. We've been doing this for the last 3,000 years or 2,000 years, the same thing. It's without any doubt that the Satan has on his calendar a big red mark with which day is Rosh Hashanah. And he has, make sure he sets his alarm to make sure that he will wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, that he won't miss it. There's no question about this. So then what does it mean, confusing the Satan? So we have to say that there is a deeper meaning over here. Now, okay, so we can possibly suggest, at least in regards to two of the minhagim, the minhag not to mention Rosh Chodesh in Rosh Hashanah Musaf Davening, and also not to bless the month, the Shabbos before, we can say that in regards to these two things, the meaning of confusing the Satan that he doesn't know when is Rosh Hashanah is because we actually have power on creating the new month. Our announcement is not just an announcement when it's going to be the new month. We know that the new month is created by the Jewish people. Hashem gave us control over time. And that the Jewish, in the days of when the temple stood, it was not Rosh Chodesh until it was declared by the Supreme Court, by the Sanhedrin, in the Holy Temple, in the Lishkas Hagaz, in the Beis HaMikdash, when they made the proclamation, Mekudesh, Mekudesh, they had to announce that the month is a new month. That's what made Rosh Hashanah, that's what made Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh. So we can say that by us not blessing the new month and by us not mentioning it in Rosh Chodesh davening, then it's not so much Rosh Chodesh. And that's what creates at least a doubt and an uncertainty in the mind of the Satan that it's not really happening. Very beautiful Medrash just says in the Medrash, when it comes this idea of how the Jewish people are, that in regards particularly to Rosh Hashanah, that it's not Rosh Hashanah until we make it Rosh Hashanah. Basically, we're in charge of setting the trial date, even though we're on trial. But Hashem gives it to us to make it. It says that the Malachim in Medrash Rabbah, Perek Beis, and Devar, in Parshas Veschanon, Pasuk Tes, it says, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Kishem Miskansen Malachi Asharis, when the angels in heaven gather, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they come in front of God, Loim Eimasai Rosh Hashanah, when is Rosh Hashanah? Ve'eimasai Yom Kippur, and when is Yom Kippur? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Lahem, so God answers them, Li Matam Shealim, why are you asking me? I know when is Rosh Hashanah. Ani Va'atem Nelech Eitzel Din Shalmata. Let us go check with the court, with the earthly court, with the court down there on earth, because they decide, and I'm obliged to follow what they decide. And this is the idea of Miga Godel, who is a great nation, Ashalo Elokim Krovim Elov, that God is close to them, which means God himself sets his calendar based on what we do. So therefore, it's possible to say that it's not just that we're not telling the Satan, but we're not creating the day as being Rosh Chodesh, which is the day of Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, the Satan is like, it's not etched in, it's not really set. So that causes the doubt in the mind of the Satan. It's possible, but not really strong enough. First of all, today's days it doesn't really work because we don't really have the power today. Two things. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, it was dependent, the establishment of the new month was dependent on the High Court, and the High Court did it on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say, I mean, they had to proclaim Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah as well. Today's days, we're not dependent anymore on the Beis Din. Today's days, it was set by Hillel the Nasi. This is not to be confused with the ancient Hillel. Hillel HaZaken was a later Hillel who set the Jewish calendar for until Mashiach comes, and it follows a certain system. And we know, we can check today what the calendar is going to be like in many years. I mean, we can't really, because Mashiach is going to come and we're going to go back to the Beis Din, but hypothetically, we would be able to check even in 100 years when is going to be any given holiday, because it's decided by Hillel, who set already the calendar in advance. So if we set the calendar, the only thing we can say that by us benching the new moon, benching Rosh Chodesh, I'm sorry, in Shul, and by us saying Rosh Chodesh now in Musaf, it further clarifies the day and intensifies the day as being Rosh Chodesh. And that element we're avoiding so that the Satan is unclear which day it is. All right. But that, first of all, only applies to those elements relating to the declaration and the establishment of Rosh Chodesh. But aside from Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah being Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, there are so many other things that give it away. All the other things that we're doing Rosh Hashanah, we're doing this long, our prayers are different. It's a long davening Rosh Hashanah and ready Rosh Hashanah by night. And everything else that's going on amongst the Jewish community before Rosh Hashanah that clearly is telling the one who is watching, and that's the Satan, that it is coming, that Rosh Hashanah is coming. That's number one. And this explanation, again, will not work for the absence of shofar blowing the day before Rosh Hashanah, because again, this is only referring to the establishment of Rosh Chodesh. And in that we can say we're creating the day. But if you hear this, just a matter, we're not doing it so that we're tricking the Satan, it doesn't seem to work. Also the fact that we're blowing shofar the whole month of Elul, that he should think that today is Rosh Hashanah, or yesterday was Rosh Hashanah, or the day before Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work on our non-beginning of the Torah on Rosh Hashanah either, because it has nothing to do with the Rosh Chodesh Tishrei element of the day. So all these things obviously call for a better answer. We have to figure something out. So here, to understand this, let's take a look at another concept of where we find confusing the Satan. There is one more confusing of the Satan that is related to the actual blowing of the shofar itself. Which means the reason why we blow shofar, see, not the month of Elul, on Rosh Hashanah itself, the mitzvah of shofar is related to the confusion of the Satan. This idea is mentioned in two places. One of them is in Targum Yonasan ben Uziel on Parshas Pinchas in Bamidbar, in the book of Numbers, chapter 29, pasuk, the first pasuk aleph. It says over there, this is the mitzvah of B'chodesh HaShvi on the seventh month, the Echad HaChodesh. It should be Yom Teruah Yelachem, a day of blowing it should be for you. The Targum says, I'm quoting the Targum over here, Yonasan ben Ozil, so he was again one of the Talmudic, one of the sages of the Mishnah. And he says, Ubiyarcha Shviyah, the seventh month, Uyarcha de Tishrei, which is the month of Tishrei, Bechad Liyarcha on the first of the month. It should be a day of holiness. You shouldn't do any work. Kolavidas pulchan aloy savdin. Yoim yabava yil yehelachayin. A day of blowing it should be to you. And what's the reason for that? Lema'arbiva satana. In order to confuse the satan, the osi lema'katreg alachayin, that is coming to for accusation or to accuse you. So therefore, in order that that shouldn't happen, in order to we want to confuse the satan. Bekal Yabuvuschain, with the voice, with the sound of your blowing. That the satan gets confused with the sound of the shofar. So this is a statement, again, where we have that the entire blowing of shofar is supposed to cause some kind of a confusion with the satan. How do we understand this? And obviously this is not about tricking him with the day, because it's already Rosh Hashanah, and we're blowing shofar because we want to confuse the satan. What is the meaning of this confusion of the satan? So we might think maybe it's just simple. We're just blowing and blowing and blowing until he gets a headache. I mean, thousands of Jews all over the world are blowing. And maybe up there in heaven, the sound is amplified much higher than it is, and it tumbles him. He gets him familiar. He gets him confused. So he can't speak well. As every time he opens his mouth, there's another blast of a shofar coming into the heavenly court. First of all, it's difficult to understand that an angel would get confused from something like that. I think there is a Pirish, statement from Rav Bunim of Peshischa, I think it was him. He says that it's not just a noise, because then if it's just a noise, you can wonder then the malachim that are coming to speak well for the Jewish people, wouldn't they also get confused from the noise happening? But he says that itself is the merit to the Jewish people, because what we're saying to the satan, take a look what happens to you. If you're here, this is your day that you have to present yourself in court, and this is where you have to present your case. And because of the blowing, you get a little confused, and you can't have normal sentences coming out of your mouth, you can't speak straight, because of the confusion. And the Jewish people live in constant confusion. We're living in such bewilderment. We're living with such tsarius. We're living with such things that are constantly creating turmoil and difficulties and confusion in our life. So of course we get distracted and we forget our mission in life at times. So that's part of the limutzchus. That's his explanation, which is a good explanation. But we take a look in the Gemara. The Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says, in regards, similar to what we just read, that the blowing of the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is in order to confuse the satan. But the Gemara says like this. Lama. Here. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, this is on Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin Amar Aleph. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Lama Toikim Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yitzchak says, why do we blow on Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara stops Rabbi Yitzchak right in the middle of the sentence. And they say, Lama Toikin? What do you mean, why do we blow? He asks a good question. Why do you blow in Rosh Hashanah? And so the Gemara says, what do you mean, why do you blow? Rachmana Amatiku, God says blow, so that's why we blow. Which, by the way, teaches us something. That's the end of the story, right there and then. Why do you blow? Hashem said so, that's why we do it. But that's what the, so then the Gemara says, Elolama Marian, why do we blow Teruah? Why don't we only blow Tekiah? Tekiah is that long sound, why do we also blow Teruah? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Rachmana ama zichrein teruah, that you have to have a teruah. So that's why we blow teruah. Ella, rather, what Rabbi Yitzchak is asking is, Lama toiken amarian kishahen yoishvin. Why do we blow two times? We blow the tkiah and the teruah when we're sitting, and then we blow again when we're standing. V'toiken amarian kishahen oimdim. What is he referring to? We know there's two sets of tkiahs, two sets of blowing in shul. One of them is called tkiah is the miyoshev, the sitting tekiahs, and one of them is called the standing tekiahs. Now, we stand by all the blowings. What he calls the sitting tekiahs means the blowing that is done before Shmona Esrei. We stand, the chazan makes the blessing, And then they blow like 30 sounds right in the beginning. And then later we start Musaf prayer. And during the Musaf prayer, during the quiet Shemona Esrei, during the Amida, and also during the repetition of the Chazan repeats, we blow during the actual reading of the davening. And with the blowing, and that is in conjunction with the three blessings that we say, the blessings that proclaim Hashem as King, the blessings of remembrance, and the blessings of Shofar. So in conjunction with that, we blow. Some people, those who daven who have the nusach of Ashkenaz, they don't blow during the quiet Shemoneh Esrei, but definitely we blow during the loud, the repetition of the Shemoneh Esrei. So these two blowings, these are called the sitting blowing and the standing blowing. Because the first one, technically, you're allowed to sit by, because you're not davening Shemoneh Esrei, even though we our custom is to stand. The second one is the standing one. The main one, the main blowing of the shofar is the standing shofar, not the sitting shofar, because the standing shofar is the one that we do together with the proclamation of God as King, as we're saying those verses, and that's why that's the main one. So what he's asking is, but why do we add an extra 30 blasts right at the beginning? We're blowing shofar right when we start, sitting and standing. That's unnecessary in order to fulfill the obligation. What's his answer? Kedei la'arviv ha-satan. The reason we do that is in order to confuse the satan. So the blowing of shofar twice is to confuse the satan. Rashi says, kedei la'arviv, what does it mean? How is he confused? Shalo yastin, that he shouldn't prosecute. Kisheyishma Yisrael mechavev in esamitzvus. When he will hear that the Jewish people are endearing the mitzvahs, that we love mitzvahs so much, that not only are we doing the mitzvah once, but we're doing the mitzvah twice. We're so, and simply it's because we may be worried, maybe we didn't hear it well, maybe it wasn't so perfect, so we do it twice. That shows that the Jewish people love God's mitzvahs, and that weakens the satan, because he realizes he doesn't stand a chance. That he's up against a formidable enemy. He's up against the people that are so devoted to God, and even though he will slander, God forbid, and will try to find all kinds of things, God is not going to take him seriously. Because here, look how serious they are. I give them a mitzvah, and they can easily blow their shofar and go home quickly and we'll have an enjoyable meal. But they stay in shul an extra 45 minutes, an extra hour, whatever it longs to take that extra blowing of shofar, because they care so much to do my mitzvahs. And therefore, that confuses the satan. That's how Rashi explains it. That's how Rabbeinu Hananel explains that is the ear of a satan, that we see that they're doing the mitzvahs with such great love. Parenthetically, there is another two interpretations of this irvav ha-satan that comes from the blowing of the shofar. One of them is Rabbeinu Nissen, the Ran in the back of the Gemara. His interpretation is the confusion of the satan is not that the satan up there gets confused that we're doing it, but rather we're blowing twice. The satan that we're referring to over here is our own Yetzahara. Because we know that the Yetzahara, the evil inclination, is an extension of the Satan. And the Satan is also the Malach HaMavis. This is really the angel of death. They're all really from the same family. They're all the same unit. So when it says to confuse the Satan, it means when we blow shofar twice, every time we hear the shofar, we're doing tshuva again and doing tshuva again. And that's subduing the Satan. It's weakening the satan. Because another call for a deep commitment and a devotion to God, another blast of contrition, of regret for things that we've done that are not good. And that is the weakening of our Yetzahara, which inevitably is the weakening of the satan. So that's his explanation. But Tosfos gives something very, very interesting. Tosfos brings from the Jerusalem Talmud, where he says like this, that the confusion of the satan that comes during Tkiyah Shofar is that we know that there is going to be what is going to put an end to the satan once or for all, that he's not going to have a job anymore. And if he doesn't have a job, we don't want him to be jobless, so he's going to be eliminated completely. And that is, so what is going to eliminate him? It's going to be the blast of the shofar Shal Mashiach. When the shofar of Mashiach comes, then it's no more satan. So every year when we blow shofar Rosh Hashanah, the sound of the shofar casts at least a doubt in the satans. It makes them a little antsy. It makes him a little worried. Maybe this is just that shofar that he's hearing. And therefore, he better run for his life. So even when he comes with and he's nervous, and he can't present his case fully because he's nervous that maybe this is the sound of the shofar. This is what Tosfos says. But let's go back to Rashi. Rashi says the simple ir viva satan comes from the satan sees that there is a very that he's up against a very difficult people, and we know that when you see when we're challenged and we're fighting something or we're in anything and we feel that the other side has a much greater chance of winning, so that knocks down our confidence and we don't have any confidence, then we perform poorly. It's like in sports when one team is losing in the third inning, it's already 10-0. So it's usually what happens is they'll make mistakes and more errors, and then it's a lost game from the beginning. Rarely do we have a comeback that a team is able to have the confidence and come back from from falling so much behind once it went off to such a terrible start. So over here we have that the Satan sees that that there is such a love from the Jewish people to God, so that causes him, at least it weakens his strength and his confidence in his accusation. So it's a weaker accusation, and that's the idea of Irva Satan, of confusing the Satan during Tkiyah Shofar. Based on this idea, we can say and explain that that is also the meaning in regards to the blowing of the shofar during the entire month of Elul. And we said that the blowing of the shofar is that he shouldn't know when is Rosh Hashanah. So what does that mean, he shouldn't know when it's Rosh Hashanah? As we said earlier, the Satan is a malach. He knows which day it is. So what is the meaning of he doesn't know when is Rosh Hashanah? It doesn't mean he doesn't know which day on the calendar. He doesn't know when is the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. You see, the blowing of Elul, what is it meant for? The reason we blow in the month of Elul, the simple reason is because it awakens us to tshuva. Hayataka shofar be'ir v'om lo yachrodu. If you blow a shofar, it's an alarm. It's an awakening. It awakens us to do tshuva. Now, as we go through an entire month, being alarmed every day that the great day is coming, Rosh Hashanah, and that awakens us, and we do tshuva. And then we do tshuva again, and we do tshuva again. And if even someone who doesn't do tshuva from the beginning of the month of Elul, but then when it comes Slichas time, and we're getting further and further in the year, in the month, and now we're already just a few days before, everybody has some kind of an awakening, some kind of something, some kind of a stirring within them that it's time to do tshuva. And if we do tshuva, and when we do tshuva, we're guaranteed. Because tshuva takes the all the sins that a person has done and destroys them. The Satan's entire arsenal is filled with sins. And this is what he's coming to present before God. When we do tshuva, we blow up his entire arsenal. All of the ammunition, it's destroyed completely. It becomes to nothing. So here comes the Satan, and he sees we're blowing the entire month of Elul. So therefore, even before Rosh Hashanah, it is already decreed by God, it's already a done deal. Hashem has already forgiven us for our sins. Hashem has already given every single person a Shana Tova Masukah, a very healthy, sweet year. Hashem has given us Parnassah, Hashem has given us health, Hashem has given us everything, even before Rosh Hashanah. So when the Satan is coming, it's not that he doesn't know which day is Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't know when is the din of Rosh Hashanah, because it's possible that we have already gotten forgiveness and therefore been given, put into the book of life at the first instant when Rosh Hashanah came in, because Hashem can't wait to give it to us, because Hashem is waiting for tshuva. He's desperate for our tshuva, and the minute we do it, it excites him so much and he wants to give us all the blessings. So the Satan is, now the Satan's not sure about that, because not possible that not everybody did tshuva. But at least it casts a serious doubt that if God gave us an entire month to prepare ourselves, and as we spoke about so many times, the king is in the field, and it's so easy to get close to Hashem during this time. So definitely, or at least there's a very big chance that we've already cleared our case with Hashem, and Hashem is already for sure, we've tipped the scales for the good. And that's why he's coming in a very iffy state. He doesn't know, and so his accusation is very weak. And that's why the if you look in the words of the Levush or the Maril, he doesn't say he doesn't know when it's Rosh Hashanah. He says Einu Yodei Amasei Hadin Shel Rosh Hashanah, meaning he knows the day, but maybe the din, the judgment, has been taken care of already earlier. And that's the reason why we blow shofar the entire month of El. This will also explain the other minhag that we mentioned earlier, that the day before Rosh Hashanah we don't blow. Because here we're really dealing a devastating blow to the Satan. What we're saying is like this. Here it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. It is the last day when the king is in the field. The last day we can blow shofar and awaken the Jewish people to do tshuva. And we don't do it. No one does no shofar. Why aren't they blowing? Why don't we blow shofar? I mean, if anything, this is the most important day. We should be blowing for an entire hour. We should run into everybody's ear and blow. Wake up. Listen, if you're sleeping, clap them on the head. You have a few minutes left. It's only a day left. Blow, blow. Wake up. We don't blow. Why don't we blow? So the Satan is really puzzled by this. And what's his conclusion? They're so confident that they're doing fine already, that God is going to give them a good year, they feel they don't even need it anymore. They're done their tshuva. They're over with it. They're already marching a march of victory. They're all done. And therefore, when he sees that, so it's not only there's a possibility of tshuva, but he sees that we are confident that we've done tshuva, so that weakens his case. That's an explanation, and we can say the same thing when it comes to the Rosh Chodesh, the omission of Rosh Chodesh, and the omission of the not completing of the Torah on that day. It's the same thing. Obviously, we understand that completing the Torah on Rosh Hashanah would be an extraordinary schus, merit for the Jewish people. I mean, there's no greater merit than Torah study. And here the entire people, all Jews, went through and studied the entire Torah. We made a siyum. A siyum is an enormous thing. It's a very great mitzvah to make a siyum. It's a mitzvah to study Torah, but it's a great mitzvah to conclude something in the Torah. Simchas Torah, we see how joyous we are because we finished. We know even in the 9 days, if you hear a siyum, it's halachically possible, according to most halachic authorities, to eat meat that we usually don't eat because it turns into a happy occasion. This is an enormous chus that Jews listen to the Torah. How long? We spend about an hour in shul or 40 minutes listening to the Torah every week. And it's not just we listen to it, we study it, we learn it, the Chumash and Rashi. We go to Shiurim on the Parsha. We say, so all this Torah study, when is it completed? When we do the completion of it. This would be an enormous chus. What better thing to tip the scales in the favor of the Jewish people would be than doing the Siyum on that day? It would be phenomenal. Also mentioning Rosh Chodesh, that would be a good thing because that would add in the awakening of davening. Obviously, you know, we think that there's so many things in the Siddur that, you know, inspiration, we get little tidbits of inspiration. But every single verse in the Siddur is meant to add inspiration. Now, especially talking about Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh is a powerful day. Rosh Chodesh itself is a day of atonement. Yom Zaman Kapara, it says, we say in Rosh Chodesh davening. So the addition of Rosh Chodesh in the davening would add more to our prayer on Rosh Hashanah. It's not only Rosh Hashanah, it's also Rosh Chodesh. And that would awaken us with a greater awakening. Yet, we don't have that additional awakening. Yet the Jewish people are not grabbing this great merit of finishing the Torah on Rosh Hashanah so they can have one more phenomenal zechus, great merit in front of God. Why aren't they doing it? They got to be crazy to say not to use this. Why aren't they doing it? So what is his conclusion? His conclusion is they are super confident that they're doing well without this. They don't need this. That throws them off. That gives him. Now, even though you can ask a simple question, the Satan knows we don't do that because it says on Shulchan Aruch. He knows the Shulchan Aruch. Right? And he knows everything that I'm saying tonight. So we want to give him the secret away, right? So what is the meaning? I mean, he knows that we're not doing it because so it says on Shulchan Aruch. So then how is he getting confused? But the answer is, what is the Shulchan Aruch saying? Shulchan Aruch is saying, don't do these things. Because it really is possible that you are meritorious enough that you don't need it.
Meaning we're doing it kedei la'arav es asatim, but what's the irav asatim? Rashi tells us. Because Jews are mechavev mitzvahs, Jews love mitzvahs so much. So which means that the Torah is telling us that in truth, it's possible that it's a done deal before Rosh Hashanah begins. That all the Jews are found in the Book of Merit already before Rosh Hashanah. It's possible. And since it's possible, even though we're not sure about it, at least it's a suffix, it's a doubt in the mind of the Satan, and it causes a weakening in his complaints. It is possible on the other side, again, these are different possibilities. There is a possibility on the other side, especially in regards to the things that we omit. The non-mentioning of, the non-blessing of the month. Because over there it's the same thing. We're not blessing the month. I mean, how are we not taking advantage of blessing the month before? Same idea as we mentioned. Because we're so confident that we have God's blessings already, we don't need that extra blessing on Shabbos Mevorchen, because we know for sure that Hashem is blessing us. But now it's possible to really say, to analyze and say the opposite, that these three things that we're omitting, the non-blessing of the month, the non-mentioning of Rosh Chodesh and the davening, the non-blowing of the shofar on Rosh Chodesh, the day before Rosh Chodesh, or the non-finishing of the Torah on Rosh Hashanah, which are four things that we're doing, we're not doing, that we're abstaining of doing, it's possible that the tactic over here is the opposite. And that is that the Satan is wondering, he's looking and he's seeing we're not doing these things, and he sees it as a weakness. In other words, he feels that he doesn't have to fight too strong against these people because they're not taking advantage of something they could be doing. There is a great merit. He's not feeling the completion of the Torah. He's not feeling, that's what he means, it's not, he doesn't know it's Rosh Chodesh. He doesn't feel our prayer that it's Rosh Chodesh. And that's why, you know, because there is such a possibility to work the other way. In other words, when you're not show yourself as super strong, as you're showing yourself as super strong, the Satan might really gather up all his strength and come to fight with all of his energy. It's the opposite of showing yourself as a little weak, that you know, he thinks that he's got the edge over us because we're not doing these extra things, and that's the irvav of the Satan over here. But which either case it is, either we're showing super strength or we're showing a certain weakness. Either case, that's the idea of irvav ha-satan. It's not an element of not knowing the day when Rosh Hashanah is. The question, however, over here is, this is all very, very good, and a good explanation, but the obviously we have a great downside to all of this. We're really exchanging something. We want to confuse the satan, and in exchange of confusing the satan, we are refraining from doing some pretty powerful things that would have helped us a lot, right? If we would have blown shofar Erev Rosh Hashanah, if shofar is going to work on us all year long, wouldn't it work on Erev Rosh Hashanah to give us that extra oomph, Rosh Hashanah is coming? Wouldn't we gain so much from the powerful blessing that we benched the month on Shabbos before? Wouldn't we gain so much of the great joy of completing the Torah on Rosh Hashanah when we should really do it? Or the mention of Rosh Chodesh. These things would add so much merit, and we're not doing it because we don't want, where the intention over here is the weakening of the Satan. The question is it really worth it? I mean, after all, we're taking a big risk. We're weakening him. Either he thinks we're too strong or he thinks we're weak, whatever it is, it's a weakening of the Satan, but it is at the expense of the sages taking away from the Jewish people some pretty good merit. And now the question is, how do we know that it's worth it? How do we know? Because the sages did it. But let's really try to think about that. Say, what's their explanation to that? It's one thing to confuse the Satan, it's another thing to take things away from the Jewish people, which definitely would work to our favor. So over here, the idea is as follows. And this is a very, very important a concept when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. And that is that Rosh Hashanah, we know, is different than the rest of the year. In that Rosh Hashanah, we serve God from a much deeper place in our soul. Our service to Hashem all year long comes from, there is the service itself, there is the worship, the mitzvah that we're doing, the Torah that we're studying, and there is the inspiration that inspires us to do that. The inspiration that we generally have is an inspiration of closeness. Closeness to God. we recognize God's greatness. We recognize His benevolence and His kindness, all that He has done for us. And we feel proud to be a servant of God. We feel obliged to be His servant. Or whatever it is, we feel a connection. And it's the closeness to God, and the closer we feel, generally, that motivates us to do more mitzvahs and the like. Rosh Hashanah, our service to God, does not come from closeness. Rosh Hashanah, the service to God, comes from the opposite. It comes from distance. Because Rosh Hashanah is the time that we have to reach out to God from the very depth of our soul, from the very, very core of our neshama. The core of our soul, the deepest, deepest desire of our soul to be connected to Hashem, only is unearthed, it's only revealed when we feel, God forbid, that we're so far and we're so disconnected. We feel the pain of the separation. The whole idea of shofar is mina meitzar karasika. It hurts me. Mina meitzar. I'm in the constriction. I feel so far from you, Hashem. I feel so disconnected. I have all the sins that I've done in my life. I have all the separation. I'm stuck in a dark body. I feel so far from you. That's the cry. And we know the shofar is the deepest cry of the soul. The shofar is the cry that doesn't have any words. Because words can't express the deep pain that we feel for all the mistakes that we've made and the general distance that we have of a neshama being in a body. And that cry is brought out in the shofar, and that's why the shofar is narrow from one side. It's the mitzrayim, the constrictions that causes us to cry out. So Rosh Hashanah, we have to feel the distance, to feel far from Hashem, and from our pain, we're reaching out to Hashem. And that is why in Rosh Hashanah, the sages unpurposely took away certain things from us so that they can, that adds that angst, that adds that pain, the distance, the feeling of being far from Hashem. Because when it comes Erev Rosh Hashanah, and we want to blow shofar, we want the inspiration, we want to hear that shofar, and we are told no shofar today. Why no shofar today? Because we want to trick the satan, because there's an accusation. Which means that we're recognizing that the satan might still have a serious case against us. And that is because of our misdeeds, because of our failures, because we haven't done what we should be doing. And that is why the satan might have, and therefore the sages had no choice but not to allow us to hear shofar the day before Rosh Hashanah. It comes Shabbos Mevarchim. Before Rosh Hashanah, and we're excited to go to shul because we know that the rabbi, we know the chazan, is going to take out the Sefer Torah and he's going to open up the channels, the gates of heaven, and he's going to bring this flow of great blessings. I mean, who then doesn't want blessings before Rosh Hashanah? Holding the Torah, Shabbos Mevarchim, and we tell everybody, sorry, no Shabbos Mevarchim today. It's canceled. Canceled why? Satan. And he might. And then it comes, we should make a siyum, we should be completing the Torah, it's the beginning of the year. Well, we're used to not doing it, but in concept, we should be doing it on Rosh Hashanah, and the siyum is not happening because of the satan. What does that do? What should that do? What does that evoke consciously or subconsciously in our minds and in our hearts? What it evokes is, look in what kind of poor situation we are. Look in what kind of state we're in, that Hashem, that we lost the opportunity to do that because we have to distract the satan, and that is painful. And the pain that we have evokes something much deeper than the shofar would have evoked. Something that the El shofar, or the blessings that would have come from benching the month, we get a higher blessing and we get a deeper shofar and a deeper awakening from the absence of it, because we don't have it. The second Chabad Rebbe, known as the Mittel Rebbe, Reb Dov Ber, before he passed away, was laying very ill, and he was basically motionless, or maybe even laying in a faint, in a semi-conscious state. He couldn't speak. And the Hasidim were all saying Tehillim and worried for him. And someone came in
the Tzemach Tzedek, his son-in-law, the next Rebbe, came in and he told the doctors that if you want to revive him, let him speak Chassidus. Let him speak Torah. Let him reveal the teachings of Chassidus and he's going to spring to life. Because they had forbidden him to speak Chassidus because of the concentration of his mind was having a negative effect on him. So the doctors whispered in his ears that they give him permission to say Chassidus. The moment they said that to him, his eyes lit up, he sat up, and he was ready. Instantly. So they might have called everybody, and then people came running from all over there. They're saying Chassidus. Everybody came in a big pushing. Everybody was pushing to hear. Obviously, he was very weak, so he wasn't talking that loud. And everybody was pushing. And as soon as he began to open to speak the first pasuk, I don't remember what it was, the first pasuk that he was going to say Chassidus on, because of the pushing, someone's hat fell off, and it fell onto the Rebbe's lap, and it threw him off for a moment. It distracted him. And he said, looks like, if he lost his train of thought, looks like what I'm supposed to reveal, I can't reveal. And he didn't say that. Instead, he changed the subject. And he said, it's a discourse, it's printed, it's called Lahavin Inyan HaKantanistin. To understand why there was a Kantanistin. What is the Kantanistin? The Kantanistin were the boys in Russia when the Tsar, Ivan Nikolai or Ivan the Terrible, or whoever it was, one of the Tsars, made a horrific decree to draft little Jewish boys when they were 8, 9 years old into the army for service until they'll be 50 years old. And it was horrible. First of all, they destroyed their lives, but more than anything, they destroyed their souls. Because the intention was to stop the next generation of Jews of being observant of Torah and mitzvahs. And they hoped that they were able to take these little kids when they're vulnerable and they're able to like get them to become like to convert or whatever. They won't give them kosher food, they won't allow them to do mitzvahs and the like. Sadly, many, the very strong boys amongst them who stood strong, many of them just were tortured to death. Many of them starved to death. Many of them, and some Jews, some of these kids were lost to the Jewish people. And then there were others that just suffered tremendously, and then they came out when they were 50 years old, broken people, and they were very ignorant, they didn't know much, and they were very humble. And so Mittler Rebbe was in his days, was right when this decree was made. This was right at the beginning. And he said to the Hasidim, he said as follows, why did God bring this terrible decree upon the Jewish people? Something that seems to be so cruel. And he said something very frightening. He said that there was an accusation in heaven that the Jewish people are not doing mitzvahs with love. The Jewish people are not doing mitzvahs with excitement, with fervor, because they're just doing mitzvahs habitually. They're doing it out of robotically because they've gotten used to it, and that's why by rote. And there is no heart, and there is no soul, and there's no passion in their mitzvahs. And the mitzvahs themselves felt like this kind of an observance. What kind of observance is it? And it wasn't bringing satisfaction, so to speak, to God. So he says this accusation happened twice. It happened by the destruction of the temple, the first temple, or the second temple. And what happened was God retracted his will from many of the mitzvahs as a result of that. We know that today's days, a majority of the mitzvahs don't apply because we don't have a temple. We don't have we can't do the mitzvahs that relate to the land, to many of the mitzvahs relating to the land of Israel, which were dependent on the temple standing. So there is a majority of mitzvahs that are not applicable. What he explained, what does that mean? It means that the mitzvah wasn't there anymore because Hashem was saying, just you're doing it just to do me a favor, I'm not interested in such a kind of a service. So the mitzvah dried up and there was no mitzvah. There was a certain amount that remained, whatever the amount of mitzvahs that are there even in the time of exile. He says, just recently there was an accusation above that even these last mitzvahs, that there still is remnants to the Jewish people, even this would be retracted because there is no relationship. There is no love in the mitzvahs, just doing. So in order to save the mitzvahs, to save the Torah, to save the mitzvahs, so this plan was, and this decree was brought into beingness, and it was decreed upon the Jewish people, because when these children would be taken into the Russian army
and they would be prevented from eating kosher food. They would be prevented from doing mitzvahs. When it comes Rosh Hashanah and these little boys, 12-year-old boys, 13-year-old boys, want to hear shofar and there is no shofar, and it hurts them, and they're crying, why don't we have a shofar? When a 13-year-old boy who was in the army already 2 years was waiting, when he was a little kid, he saw his older brother have his bar mitzvah and get that beautiful pirat tefillin and put it on with such excitement and with love. And now he's never going to have tefillin because there is no tefillin to be seen. There is no tefillin for him. There's no tefillin in 50 miles around where he is. There is no tefillin. And he can't wear tefillin. So this little boy is going to cry from the depth of his soul, Hashem, give me tefillin. How come I don't have tefillin? And that cry, which comes from the absence of not having the mitzvah, is going to evoke and is going to display how really, in the depth of our heart, how much we really love mitzvahs. And the reason why we maybe are not showing it is because we've gotten so used to it, so we don't feel. But by not having it, the not having of the mitzvah is going to bring out the deepest love of the mitzvah and bring back Hashem's enjoyment in our mitzvahs. That was his explanation. That is the meaning of all these things that we don't do. To confuse the satan, it's not that as a result of it, there isn't this, there isn't the tshuva, there is a deeper tshuva, a Rosh Hashanah tshuva, a tshuva that comes from feeling the separation, feeling distant, and feeling that we have so much to make up for, and that hurts. That's the tshuva. To take it one step deeper, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says something really awesome. He says it's not just that we also have, we don't have the mitzvah, but instead of the mitzvah, we don't have the minhag. Instead of that, we have something deeper. We have a tshuva. He says in some way, we actually have the mitzvah as well. We have the actual doing of the mitzvah. Why? Because the reason we're not blowing shofar Erev Rosh Hashanah, the reason we're not making a siyum, the reason we're not doing all these things is because this is God's will in the Torah. That's the minhag. That's the Shulchan Aruch. That's what it says. So ultimately, we're serving Hashem in the not doing it the same way like would we be serving Him in the yeah doing it. And when one is so devoted to God, where the doing of mitzvahs is not because it feels good to me and what it does for us. The doing of the mitzvah is the joy and the satisfaction and the pleasure that it brings God. If that's what's on your mind, so then you're just as happy in the not doing than in the doing, because now you're serving Hashem in the non-doing it. It's like the story, Rabbi Lamelech and Rabbi Zusha, they were two brothers, the big two saintly Hasidic masters. They used to travel a lot before they became known Rebbes. And the one time something happened and they stuck up for a Jewish, for someone, and they ended up in prison. And they were in a cell. And the cell was a dungeon. And they were there with other prisoners, hooligans and whatever. But it was getting time to daven mincha. So they wanted to prepare themselves for mincha. The problem was that the cell had a pail, which the pail that whatever the people used for, and it had a horrible stench. And the halacha is that you can't pray where there is a stench. So today there was this big stench in Los Angeles. So here you had this stench, and you're not allowed to daven. So they were hoping, time is going, but hoping maybe there'd be something, they can go into a corner, maybe they'll let them out for some fresh air, but it wasn't happening. And it was really hurting. What do you mean, they're not going to daven mincha? They're literally forbidden to daven mincha. Suddenly, one of the two brothers said to the other one, they said, you know, just like we have a mitzvah to daven mincha, now Hashem obviously put us into a circumstance where He wants us not to daven mincha. So we will serve Him by not davening mincha. And the idea was so exciting to them, both the brothers. They thought about it. They got so happy. The two of them burst out in singing and dancing. They were dancing until they went and they threw them out and they were able to daven mincha. Because they were getting annoyed and they took them into a different place. But there was a joy and a happiness in the non-davening like the davening. When our concern is not about getting points for ourselves, but our point is, what does Hashem want? Sometimes we're in situations where we can't. We would like to. We would like to have gone to the shir. But you know what? Something happened and you were needed at home. So, yes, it's good to be bothered, but it's also good to say, wow, This is what Hashem wants of me now, and I will serve him in the way he wants me to serve him. Right now, my children need me, and therefore I'm not going to be in shul the whole Rosh Hashanah, only a little bit. And that's the way I'm serving God, and that's his pleasure, and that's my pleasure as well. The joy of the not and the joy of the yeah is revealed in the non-things that we do and the non-doing of all these minhags in order to confuse the satan. That's the biggest confusion of the satan, because he doesn't really get this. Such kind of devotion to his creator, he does his job with great devotion, but it's all selfish because he gets energy every time he gets us to sin. But to be able to do something so selflessly, that he doesn't get. It doesn't even occur to him. Even if I say it on the CD, he doesn't understand one word what that means, because it's totally not in his mind, such a kind of a service. It's only a Jewish type of a soul that is able to transcend every calculation and just do something because this is what Hashem wants. And the yet and the no are equal. May Hashem see the beauty of the Jewish people, the beauty of Am Yisrael, and give us all the Shnas Bracha and Atzlacha, an incredible year for everyone, a year of Parnasa, a year of life, a year of health, a year of Shidduchim, of Shalom, and more than anything else, Tekah b'shofar gadol l'cheiruseinu, where we hear the great blast of the shofar, the coming of Mashiach. May it happen now.
Yeah.